You're listening to the Batuta Advocate's weekly news wrap on Desert Rock FM 96.5.
Welcome back to the Batuta Advocate Weekly Bulletin. You're joined by myself, Clancy Overall, of course, Errol Parker, Editor-at-Large. How are you, Errol?
I'm all right, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. And, of course, in the corner, we've got the Diamantina's news reader, Wendell Hussey. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really well. Thanks, Clancy. Fighting fit. Been a bit of a weird week in news, though, hasn't it? How are you going?
It's not weird news if they're not telling you anything. Obviously, a lot going on in Canberra. A lot of things being held from us. A lot of people working very hard to hold things from us. And a lot of people not making decisions, which is kind of the opposite of what we pay them to do. So, not really, almost a standstill news cycle, in my opinion.
And the nation, too, Wendell, is edging closer and closer to becoming a republic after the Queen reportedly spent a night in jail. I mean, it seems like only yesterday when, you know, Prince Philip was being hospitalised on and off like this.
Yeah, very happy Malcolm Turnbull today, I reckon.
Yeah.
And Peter Fitzsimons.
Yeah, they won't admit it, but probably, yeah.
All right, well, let's get into this week's news wrap, and we will start off down in Canberra, which you just mentioned, Clancy. The Nats have finally unveiled their net zero plan, saying, okay, so we won't touch mining and gas, but we shoot every cow.
It looks like we've finally got some clarity on this issue from the people who are paid to be on top of this issue. As Barnaby Joyce, the leader of the Nationals, said earlier this week, they haven't been this divided with the Liberals since Malcolm Turnbull told them to stop rooting their staffers. However, it looks like there might be some progress in the recent net zero debates.
Yes, they had a few meetings this week. As we reported, there were a couple of punch-ons, but they've nutted out what they want. Basically, they want us to put a bullet in the head of every cow, grow a tree in a few paddocks here and there, you know, where they used to be, and then allow free rein on coal and gas extraction so they can keep their friends in higher places happy.
Yes, Barnaby Joyce provided the Advocate with this quote about the new position, offering a little bit of an insight into the thinking behind it. He said, I know the Nats are meant to represent the bush, yada, 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 yada. But nowadays, Aussie farmers are mostly depressed small business owners or major Chinese conglomerates, so we don't really need to worry about what they think right now. Now, staying on this story, Bob Catter has weighed into the debate. He said this about the net zero issue, and I'll throw this one to you, Errol.
He said, the key to limiting carbon emissions is in those big riverwood gums. But you can't camp under the room because those branches have been wanted their own, you know. Funny story, actually. There's a bloke named Chinaman Charlie who left behind two wives and not in jadams after a big limb of timber landed on his swag one night.
Hard to argue with this, isn't it? I'm not sure it's actually that funny of a story, Bob, but it is an interesting insight into the thinking of the rural independents. The Maverick MP from North Queensland, Bob Catter, continued for about another 20 to 30 minutes outlining his strong position on net zero and all this hoo-ha ahead of Glasgow, but he does seem to think if we plant more Red River gums, we'll be able to suck the carbon out of the air, like, as he said, like Clive Palmer sucks oxygen when he walks up the front steps of the Brisbane Treasury Casino. But, you know, of course, there was a gear change and Bob Catter got distracted. He ended up telling a story about a bloke who ended up getting crushed by one of the branches from the, you know, these trees that are commonly known as the Widowmakers.
Yes, if I remember that story correctly, they had to, you know, unpeel Charlie out of his swag like a jam roll-up, but I don't know, it's a story for another time. But it was certainly a new take on carbon neutralisation from Bob. He did also call the Nationals a bunch of UQ thespians with a few ruse loose in the top paddock, which seems like it might be a thing that makes the most sense in this whole debate.
COVID news now, and it's been revealed that an absolute fucking drop nuts doesn't want to get the jab because he's scared.
Yes, a proud Queenslander who reckons he could smoke more bongs than any other bloke in his hometown is apparently a little bit hesitant about protecting himself against the virus. We spoke to Clayton Claymore from Gladstone a couple days ago about why he hadn't just gone and gotten the jab. He started reaching for some scientific data he read on the internet, but thankfully his mates jumped in and explained to us that it's all actually because Clayto is just a big fat drop nuts who's too afraid to admit it.
Well, I don't think you're a drop nuts for being concerned about, you know, your own health. And, you know, our own health is protected by the Constitution. I mean, like, it's akin to free speech. I mean, you have a right to what you put in your own body.
Absolutely.
Yeah, interesting take there, Errol. We did have a comment that racked up a few likes on that story along those lines. It was from Tim Cunningham, who said, I just don't want it should be the only reason needed on this.
Yep.
Interesting take from Tim. Now, moving from a tap-out shirt wearer to a pink-haired local, a broke inner city creative has found the perfect $17,000 Volvo station wagon to complete his aesthetic.
Yes, a nice win for Kevin Bentpole, I believe his name was. He's from down in the French Quarter. The agency creative says he has found the ideal car to top off his woke, broke look.
Mm.
It's a clapped out but overpriced old Swedish car with a few loops around Australia under its belt that Bentpole reckons is his dream car come true.
Yes, as he said about his new 1990s model, I just love the way it looks. And no, it doesn't have Bluetooth. Yeah, it's a shame that I can't even afford a new car, but that's the peril of being a millennial. Being able to afford to live, but not being able to afford to age.
Well, if he has an accident with a Red River Gum, I'll tell you what it'd be like. Scraping the sardines out of a stomped-on tin, I reckon.
Not a great AMCAP safety rating, I don't think. And sports news, Wayne Bennett has kicked off day one in Redcliffe, saying, "We cannot keep a live dolphin captive in the clubhouse."
Yes, the worst kept secret in rugby league was officially confirmed this week, with the master coach being given the keys to the new Dolphins kingdom.
And yes, he started off with a few ground rules. He's told the power brokers that he doesn't want to change too much. There's an existing framework in this historic Queensland rugby league club, but he does have an issue with the dolphin that they keep captive in the clubhouse aquarium. He said, "I'm hardly a bleeding heart tree hugger, but that shit is not on. We can't keep a living, breathing dolphin in that bizarre aquarium. It's not a good start. And if I achieve one thing here at the Redcliffe Dolphins, it will be to set free that animal into Moreton Bay."
Well, I think that's going to be tricky for old Wayne, because I heard that the dolphin was actually a gift from the BGs. So I think they're going to be quite torn up there at Redcliffe about who they should appease. The old Redcliffe or the new Redcliffe?
Well, yeah, you know, you could kind of find a halfway and get the netted swimming pool. Just allow it that much freedom, but it can't actually...
To mix in with the players and stuff?
Yeah, for the cool-down sessions.
Or you could do what Barnaby Joyce does when he goes on his fishing charters off the coast of Yamba every Christmas. Holidays is when they go out offshore. He takes a rifle to shoot the dolphins that try to take his snapper. From the reef, yeah. So, because it's at the mouth of the mighty Clarence, you've got sharks, whales. They come and they eat on the veritable smorgasbord of.
And it's not that wide, the mouth of the Clarence, there, as you say. So it's easy to shoot.
No,
shooting dolphins in the
very,
mouth of the
very
Clarence.
Very narrow river, the Clarence. Yes.
Very good. All right, well, I think that's where we'll leave it for this week. Hope you enjoyed our news wrap, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.